It's your boy Kobe Mack, and this is the Kobe Told Me podcast. Yo, whenever I want to, and damn, do I always need it. Deep dive with the Mac himself, where I get to amplify my movie reviews for your listening pleasure. Would you please consider giving your boy a follow? I'm on all the socials at Kobe Told Me on Twitter and Instagram, and sometimes I'm on Facebook at Kobe Mac. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. This is episode 11, because there is a 10 that's out there that I thought I released, and come to find out, I didn't. It's a bottoms review, so I guess you're going to get a little extra Kobe this week, but sheesh, it's when I tell you that life has been lifing, it has been an interesting couple weeks for real, couple months. I did not have any intention of falling off the face of the earth, kinda. But distractions are real and life is real. And life got super duper real for your boy. What was supposed to be a 2 to 3 week just little travel season to visit the Mini Mac out in Atlanta. Life threw a curveball for your boy. I'm very honest and very transparent, and I found out that I got another little mini Mac, and I've never fallen in love with something so quick, and I'm sure some folks may hear this and have questions, and for the folks that rock with me, that feel like they want to ask, they can. For the folks that don't, mind your business. Let me tell you something. Above all, that being a pretty dope film critic, in my opinion, I pride myself on being a pretty dope dad. And while this was not optimal, I'm going to Mac it out. And I'm happy. I'm proud. I feel loved on. I feel like I'm giving love. I feel like I'm settling back to a place in my life to get a bit more stability, which is fantastic. Right now, I'm soaking up the sun in LA. It feels good to be back here. I'll be here shortly just to say some goodbyes, say some see you laters, grab some things, and pivot back to the East Coast to be more present, more consistent, and I feel good about that. But there's work to be done. There's movies to watch. There are reviews to be had and podcasts to record. And what way to be able to get back to doing what I do best than with another MCU review? Because this year has definitely been wrought with people screaming to the high heavens that the MCU is in shambles. But I'm going to tell you that I think Nia DaCosta's The Marvels is not the biggest example of how far the MCU has fallen down. If anything, I think it's a good place to be able to pick themselves back up. This film go around, Carol Danvers gets her powers entangled with those of Kamala Khan and Monica Rambeau, forcing them to work together to save the universe. Now, when we talk about the non-event films in the MCU, it's the save the universe part that is tough for some people. I think that Marvel, like, they captured lightning in a bottle several times, and I think everybody expects a particular standard, but I think we need to, like, get back to basics and redefine what that standard is. Now, I do not believe that we should have everything to be this big event team-up film, but because of how epic Phase 3 ended, we only thought that the baton was going to be passed and Phase 4 was about to knock it out the park. And when you think about it, I don't necessarily believe that there was more misses than hits, because in Phase 4, I got my favorite Spider-Man movie of all time, in Spider-Man No Way Home. Let me rephrase that. I got my favorite live-action Spider-Man movie of all time in Spider-Man No Way Home. Shout out to Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And now that the strike is over, Beyond the Spider-Verse should be back to getting what they need done for that film. I cannot wait. But that all stands to say that I think that there were some really good spots in Phase 4. But I think the biggest thing that felt different is that the direction of the universe felt a little wonky. Felt like not everybody was on or like playing the same game. And there's been reports that are kind of detailed that the ship wasn't as tight as used to be. Maybe Kevin Feige was feeling himself a little bit and didn't cross his T's and dot his I's. And you know, I think that there is, you know, there's an idea, like Samuel L. Jackson's Nick Fury would say, that we could put a team together. And I think that he needs to kind of get back to basics of what makes the storytelling in Marvel work. And while this is probably the least anticipated film of the MCU that I fell for recently, and some of y'all that know me online know that, like, I will dog Phase 4, but I'll still go watch every movie. I think that's my balance, right? Like, I'm not going to sit here and talk crap and make it seem like I'm not about to watch these movies, as I am. I want this stuff to be good. But I damn sure wasn't excited for the Marvels. I was skeptical. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 was really, really good. But damn, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, yikes. I felt like that there was a direction that was being charted with Loki on Disney Plus. And yo, I've not even gotten to starting Loki season 2 and the finale just happened. That'll come soon, I promise you. But I felt like, oh my gosh, what just happened at the end of Loki season 1, we're about to sit here and bust it wide open with Phase 4. And we've not got that. Every subsequent series in Disney Plus, every subsequent film for the MCU proper seems to kind of ignored Loki. And that just felt narratively like a really bad idea. And it's weird that I've gotten to this point now where we have Nia DaCosta and Marvels come out, and I don't want it to tie into anything. I want this movie to kind of operate on its own, but I recognize that what made the MCU special was the interconnectedness. And I think most recently we have examples that that interconnectedness is probably biting off more than it could chew. So yo, let's not bite nothing. Just let them have a space romp that's independent to themselves, kind of like what we got in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, where we fall in love with these characters, we respect their individual journeys, and the things that happen to them don't necessarily have to play into the overarching story of the MCU. And we almost got that with this film, except in the end. So Houston, we don't have a problem. And I don't believe that the MCU is in shambles. It is a little messy. And there's a difference. And I'm glad at least that we have Nia DaCosta's fingerprints to imprint on this film. Because, yo, I really liked Little Woods. I loved Candyman. Did I love the writing that she lent herself to this film? Not necessarily, but yo, she wasn't alone. There's two other people that were working on the writing of this film, and you understand the sandbox that you're playing in when you're working on an MCU project, and I could feel her style with the direction, and that I really enjoyed. I think the direction of this film is strong. It's a really tight film. It's the shortest Marvel movie that they've ever put out, and personally, I think it could have been longer for a lot of really good reasons, because there was a lot of stuff that surprisingly I liked. Maybe it's because I went in with low expectations. Maybe the bar was so low that it was easier to be exceeded. That I just wanted this film essentially to be, and it ended up being, MCU filler. Not a big event movie or team-up movie, yet we do have three principal lead characters that are teaming up for the first time. But the stakes are low, but also a little high because it's supposed to be this universe-defining event. And that can sometimes take away from that overarching narrative that I feel like has more questions than answers. But I'm glad that the performances that we got and the tone of this film, it made it fun. And I was talking to my boy, shout out to Raul. Man, I was hearing people that got a chance to watch the Marvels early and they said, oh, it's fun. And I feel like sometimes if so folks say that, it's like fun because it's not good. So at least it's fun. But no, I think after watching this, it's a fun movie. Like, these women are having a good time. And if that pisses off you racist, misogynistic jerk-offs, then yo, go get a life somewhere. It's okay for people that don't look like you, talk like you, and live like you to have a good time and not see the world through your lens. Because these women, Carol Danvers, Brie Larson, Monica Rambeau, Tiana Paris, Kamala Khan, Iman Vellani, they are doing a damn thing. They are beautiful. They are charismatic. They are fun. Now, I think one of the biggest gambles is that we have a film, which is like, I don't even know what number this is in the MCU, but we have an introduction of two characters that were already introduced in Disney Plus films. And I think that may necessarily be a first time. So if you didn't know who Kamala Khan was, there was the Disney Plus series, Ms. Marvel, to familiarize yourself with. If you didn't know who Monica Rambeau was, well, we saw her when she was a kid in Captain Marvel, essentially the film before this one. This is a sequel to that film, right? But we see her grown up inside of WandaVision, and we see particularly how these two women get their powers. And I will say it does come across a little convoluted inside the story of like not only what their powers were, where they came from, how they got them. And there's a lot of machinations and mechanics of this world that don't necessarily jive or make sense if you're not gone the full investment. It's kind of hard not to believe in this world, right? Because, you know, it's this is the MCU. We've been in it for, you know, 15 plus years, right? Since 08. Oh, no, before 08, right? Like, this is it. And I believe in these characters. I've seen them before. I will say, I believe that this movie is a step up from the first Captain Marvel, like in a lot of ways. You know, it's funny enough, I was going back and I was looking at my previous review for Captain Marvel. And the thing that stood out, you know, for me there was the fact that, like, this was the long and like overdue female empowered superhero movie that Marvel wanted so bad, but I think it worked better in space than it did on Earth. Everything before Carol Danvers got back to Earth, I really dug. And the film just kind of fell and tripped a little bit more. And like one of my biggest complaints with the film was both the direction and the writing, where at least in this film, I feel like the direction improved and the writing had an opportunity to do something really, really good. I truly believe that an extra 15 minutes in this film could do wonders for the entirety of it. But obviously that's not going to happen. But I'm excited to see where these characters can go if they're still going to be committed to the cause, because we don't get a chance to be able to see three women do some great things, have a lot of fun, and kick some butt. Now, I will say the internal and external goals of each individual character, me as a screenwriter, I'm going to pay attention to those type of things. But I think for general audiences, what's done on the page and translated onto the screen, I think is good enough. And yeah, is that lowering the bar? Sure, but I think it's good enough. It seems like that the MCU has a lot of things to kind of, you know, configure and rearrange with so many different things that are going on that this was absolutely fine. And honestly, it was good in a lot of areas. So yeah, while the stakes are lower and there still is a villain problem, they beat the bad guy. And you know that that's going to happen. And ultimately, do they overcome the conflict? And was I moved in the end? Did I feel like that it was going to do more for the MCU as a whole? I guess kind of, but not really. I think one of the bigger things is that Brie Larson, I enjoy her as Captain Marvel. But I don't know that like some of the reasons why maybe some audiences don't enjoy her outside of the dirtbag ones, is because they didn't really know what to do with a character that they absolutely OP'd. I mean, in Infinity War, she wasn't in Infinity War, but then again, it asks you, why wasn't she in Infinity War? But in Endgame, she goes one-on-one and solos Thanos. Why does she have a problem with Dar Ben by Zari Ashton? I'll get to her shortly. I think that if there was a greater focus on Carol as a character herself, being able to contend with the moniker of being the Annihilator across the cosmos and what that really means, I feel like what we got in the screen in this film was something that was very surface level, and I don't think that she did enough work to really earn overcoming it. And I think that as an audience goer, I would have felt so much more satisfied if I could feel Carol Danvers get to that place on her own, to recognize that she was very wooden and essentially, you know, a robot because of what the Kree were doing to her in the previous film, right? The Supreme Intelligence kept wiping away her memories, making her a blank canvas. And what does that do to a woman that just wants to reclaim her past? And recognize that a part of reclaiming her past is contending with their present and how that's impacted a person that's looked up to her entire life, Monica Rambeau. And then throwing in the curveball that you have the biggest fan of this woman in Carol Danvers and Kamala Khan, a young brown girl from Jersey City who is coming into powers that she doesn't quite understand and lives inside of a world that is absolutely scary, but just wants to be a part of the team. I think that dynamic had an opportunity to go a little bit deeper, and it may have been a bit more dramatic. And I know that the focus of this film was just trying to have a lot more fun. And you know what? Carol, Monica, and Kamala, they were. Iman Vellani's Kamala Khan steals the show. She is such a breath of fresh air. She is so charismatic. There is something that is so interesting about her voice that I just fawn over. And the way that she fawns over Carol Danvers, like, I've been that fanboy before. to be able to have the opportunity to be able to team up, suit up with your hero, like that's undeniably such a great thing to be able to aspire to do. So for anybody trying to shit on that, how dare you? She's having a ball and she's learning things along the way. And I truly believe that she's got the staying power as a character to do something great. I wasn't excited for the Young Avengers before, but after watching this movie, I am now. I'm excited to see more Tiana Paris and where Monica Rambeau goes. And there definitely is some ambiguity of what happens at the end of this film and the ways in which Carol Danvers can be used. You know, we don't have an Avengers team right now, and that can be really uncomfortable for a lot of people. But I do believe that we have enough great characters, and I believe in Kevin Feige, the MCU, to be able to right the ship. Now, I will say, I was a little confused on where the events that happened in the Disney Plus Secret Invasion show was before this film or the afterwards, and I still kind of don't know. But honestly, because of how bad that show is, I can't help it. People were really tepid about trying to go into this one. Because whether if it was before, if the events in Secret Invasion were before this movie, that's stupid. If the events of Secret Invasion happened after this movie, it's not as stupid, but it still just makes that show bad. And Nick Fury isn't a problem here. He's just completely a different Nick Fury in this movie than he is inside of Secret Invasion. And these things seem to be either happening right before or right after each other. And that's where I feel like the team of writers aren't all the same page. It's not just one film that you're talking about. It's an overarching universe where what happens in the events of one film can send ripples through another series or film. Now, Nick Fury, I like him. I felt like he was kind of sleepwalking through this performance in Samuel L. Jackson, but I'm going to leave that up to the writing. There were some performance pieces from him where I felt it was way more improvised, and I like that. Particularly, there's some scenes with Flerkins all throughout the movie where, if y'all remember my podcast review for Captain Marvel, I really dislike Goose. I've come around to the little thing right now. I'm going to call him a thing. The Flerkin is a thing. He looks like a cat, but he's a thing, right? And it's really cute. There's some things that work there. And honestly, one of the funniest things of the entire, I guess this is the first film of Phase 5. Yeah, so cool. The funniest moment inside of Phase 5 is a musical number that people seem to be really blowing out of proportion. It's fun. I think that the universe is so grand. There's so many different things that don't look like you and I. In the way that they look, in the way that they talk, in the way that they sing. And there's a group of people in the planet of Aladna. It's a water planet that is dwelled and inhabited by people who don't speak English. They speak in song. Why is that bad? Like, really, say it out loud, jerk-offs. Why is it bad to talk in song? All the weird things that we see in Guardians of the Galaxy and that side of the universe and all throughout the MCU, we're really going to get mad because there's a population of people that speak in song? It was super cute. I think it was great to be able to see Brie Larson's Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, just kind of like relax and be a little bit different. And I liked it. I thought it was funny. And I think if you give this movie a chance, it's got something. The only thing that really doesn't have a chance is like, yo, Dar Ben, oh yeah, yeah. Zari Ashton, I like her. Shout out to Tom Hiddleston, man. You did your thing. But she was miscast as the villain in this film. MCU still has a villain problem outside of a handful of people. And I think that this villain was beyond weak. I think that it was very contrived. We will not miss her. I think that she will be relegated down to the villains that you have in the beginning of Phase 1 of Marvel and Phase 2. Yeah, you know, the dark elf kind of bad villain. That's what was Zari Ashton. Yo, if you could have had Sophia Boutella as Dar Ben, and written her better, there's a presence and charisma to her that I think would have carried out throughout the film and would have legitimized greater stakes and a greater threat. I never felt threatened by this woman. I thought all of her dialogue was very wooden. It was very written, and I didn't enjoy it. But shout out to the Khans, Kamala's family, mom, dad, brother. They need their own spinoff show. I think they need like a short mini series called Meet the Khans that would be so much fun. Kind of like the Marvel's one-shots that we got before. I would love a Meet the Khans. I feel like that's what we need to play with when we get these types of narratives. And there's so much fun to be had that I truly believe that there's more to mine from the Marvels in good than there is bad. Yeah, the writing, not great. The tone can be mixed. The editing, not good either. And the runtime, too short. 15 to 20 minutes to fix some things could have made this movie close to great. But to be honest with you, the Marvels, it's super cutesy. I think it's super fun. And it's funnier than I expected. And it's kind of like an almost return to form for the MCU, if you're asking me. It's a good superhero flick with strong female leads. It's a great cast. It's solid action. And you know me as the action guy. There's two decent set pieces in here that, like, I really enjoyed. And yeah, it's got some villain problems. And it's a little bit too much setup in the third act to be able to do what the MCU movies want to do and trying to push the overarching MCU forward. They need to fix that. But I believe in these three women. I believe in Nia DaCosta. I believe in Kevin Feige and the MCU. And I think that this movie particularly has plenty of heart in all the right places. And it's a flirking good time. Come on, I had to do it. I had to do it. I had to get the pun in. Yo, the Colby told me rating for the Marvel Cinematic Universe is The Marvels is a 7 out of 10. This is directed by Nia DaCosta, written by her, Megan McDonald, Alisa Karasik. It is starring Brie Larson, Tiona Paris, Iman Vellani, Zawi Ashton, Park Seo-joon, Zenobia Shroff, Mohan Zapur, Sagar Shaikh, and Samuel L. Jackson. And it is playing now in theaters everywhere. Well, that'll do it for this one. Can't wait to get you the next one. Until then, like, subscribe, comment, and share. I'm going to finally get back to doing what I like to do and getting consistent, bringing the most flavor in the game to movie podcasting. Be on the lookout for my next episode. It's a throwback kind of film with Paul Giamatti's The Holdovers coming soon. Once again, thanks for rocking with me. And remember, when they ask you where you heard it from, tell them Colby told me. Peace.